Please pray with me. God, we pray that your word would be spoken and your word heard. Amen. Please be seated. On my first day as a hospital chaplain at the staff orientation, they taught me and my fellow chaplains how to wash our hands as if we were brain surgeons, scrubbing all the way up to our elbows, between our fingers and under our fingernails. We needed to do this, they said, before and after each visit to every patient's room. This was really important. And this was also in May of 2020, when there were no visitors allowed in the hospitals at UNC, and the chaplains were getting paged a lot. So all this hand washing, as you can imagine, took up quite a bit of time. And sometimes it felt like a ritual that was holding me back from seeing people who were asking for prayer. But as the summer went on, I started to enjoy this time at the sink. I liked that the sinks were next to the nurse's station because nurses tend to have a particularly good sense of humor, which is something I came to realize was one of the many survival traits that nurses have. And because the hand washing gave me a break between each patient visit, it gave me some mental space. And as the faucet ran, I would think about the different types of healing that people were hoping and praying for. And I noticed that the most common thing that I heard was people just really wanting a second chance. In the most basic way, some people just wanted a second chance, again, at life outside of the hospital. They wanted to smell the fresh air and to feel the sun on their skin. Some people wanted a second chance with their spouse or partner. Some people wanted to take back something that they'd said. So as we washed our hands, my fellow chaplain, Claire, and I would talk, and Claire would remind me that God's mercy is like water, in that it always pools down and finds the lowest places. God's mercy finds the lowest places in the world and inside of us. In Mark's gospel that we just heard, first century ritual hand washing appears to be the topic at hand. It appears to be the main issue at first. Jesus and his followers are not respecting the old hand washing laws, and this is deeply offensive to the people whose job it is to keep the tradition going. But all the hand washing turns out to be a distraction from the real deal. As Jesus responds by emphasizing that it's what goes on inside your heart and your mind. These are the things that are more important than the religious rituals. He lists off the unsavory things that a hospital-grade hand washing can't take care of. Things like greed and deception and envy, pride. These things bubble up from the inside of us, Jesus says. Soap and water aren't going to cut it. The first century vices that Jesus talks about, they don't feel so unfamiliar to me. It sounds like a list made by someone who knows exactly what it's like to be a human being. And I think Jesus knew something about the traps that the human mind can stumble into. He'd recently spent 40 long days in the desert being tempted by Satan with some of these very same vices. Jesus has stared these struggles right in the face. And so I also think that Jesus knows about the disorder of our world, the hardship that happens in our hospitals and in our war zones and in our homes. And I think that Jesus also knows about the chaos that happens deep inside of each of us. In the gospel today, I think he was just calling it what it is. It's our nature to try to suppress these things. You and I both know that if you try to stuff an unsavory thought away, eventually it's going to bubble up in some other place. And if you're like me, it'll just wake you up in the middle of the night. I think this is actually where meaningful religious rituals will help bring us closer to God. And what Jesus did not say is that rituals are bad. The heart of the argument is about what meaningful religious practices even are in the first place. We here have meaningful religious rituals, like the baptism of baby Stephen Avery that's about to happen. These things will bring us closer to God together. Martin Luther has said that baptism takes just a few moments to perform and a whole lifetime to complete. He was talking, I think, about the ongoing work of living out our baptismal vows. Baptism offers the freedom with publicly admitting that we need God's mercy to wash off these lowest places in ourselves and in the world. Baptism is not just about eternal life, which I also think it is, but it's about living out the kingdom of God right here, right now, in our lives as we have them in front of us. And it's also partially about that thing, whatever that thing is, that keeps you awake during the loneliest hour of the night. That thing, too, is drenched in God's mercy. When the chaos of life is simply too great, when there are no words to pray, when we don't believe, or when we're too young to talk or too old to walk, we can take heart that the waters of God's mercy have washed us in baptism, and they continue to wash us today. Now, Jesus came to earth as a first century faithful Palestinian Jew in the middle of people's religious arguments about what was going to get them into heaven. He got right into these conversations, and I think he's still in these conversations with us today. Jesus knows that our hearts have the tendency towards chaos, but we need second chances. We all do. And he set us free to admit it and move on, not just once, but over and over again. In a moment here, baby Stephen Avery is going to be baptized. And then we'll all say our baptismal covenants together as we prepare as a community to raise Stephen Avery in the Christian life, always reminding him who he is and how much he is loved. Together, we will remember who we all are. We are chaotic. We are looking for second chances. And the depths of Jesus's love will surround us as we are continually reborn in the Holy Spirit. Amen.